Ladies and gentlemen, today is the first day of the rest of your life. And now, listen in as Tristan and Johnny bring it all to the table on the Vision Board Podcast.
Welcome back, guys. Episode 75 of the Vision Board Podcast. I'm Tristan Cannell, and Johnny Stofko joins me.
Yes, guys. Hope everyone listening is doing well. We got an awesome episode to share with you today, full of awesome insight and awesome content.
Definitely. How are you doing, Johnny?
I'm doing good. I'm feeling focused, feeling inspired, constantly working on ways to improve myself, especially through these type of chats that you and I have. We're always thinking, and Bedros Koulian, our guest today, is going to definitely assist in that process.
Yeah, he's been like... Without being a direct influence in terms of someone that you've met in person, this is the first time I'll interact with him in person, but he's got a lot of different... He's a business coach, and he specializes in fitness professionals. So I followed him for a long, long time, even before I decided to switch away from finance into fitness. He was one of the main influences and main referrals in terms of getting information flow for both business, because he's been there and done that himself. Like... He's been through the highs and lows, and himself, you know, there's some really big names in the fitness industry really relying on Bedros Koulian.
You highlighted an awesome point that just made me realize that, yeah, we all have these mentors, guys listening at home, that we'll never meet, and you just have a reverence to this person because maybe they're at a state or a stage that you want to get to through, you know, commitment and hard work. And hearing you say that about Bedros, I appreciate sharing this space with you because – Bedros is on that list, you know, Anthony Mundine, Jonathan Thurston, just being able to create this show and share that, I think that that's a very important and special thing. And as you said, Bedros' skill set, now through his experience, the hard work, the ups and downs, he helps others get to where he is. And one of those guys that I know of is a fellow Vision Board alum, Craig Ballantyne. And Craig's episode was actually one of my favorites when I was going through the editing process, and I actually listened to it when I travel. So tying those pieces in together and getting advice firsthand from Bedros Koulian is something that I'm really looking forward to.
Yeah, it's one that I've been looking forward to for a long, long time. For fans of Lewis House's show, he was on recently, I think a couple of months ago, he was on Lewis's show. He was speaking about masterminds. I think we're going to go in a little bit of a different direction today, but there's going to be some quality knowledge bombs. And I think... it's not just for fitness and professionals. I think for people out there looking to establish themselves in the business world, and even I'm pretty sure Bedros is going to leave us with some kind of principles that you can even apply to everyday life. So it's one of those episodes that, yes, he is a coach in the fitness industry, but it's something that can be applied to more than just the fitness world.
For sure. There's parallels with wanting to grow exponentially in any industry. And all of those, I feel, start internally. You have to first have an awareness that you need to learn and need to grow. And every day I have this realization, we were just chatting off record, that, man, the more you start learning, the more you start realizing, one, you don't know anything. I don't know anything. And two, there's so much room for learning. And Bedros' story goes way beyond the fitness industry. I mean, he was an immigrant to the United States. He had that going against him. We're going to tap into that. Also, what I want to look forward to that I want to learn from is that you and I are both – well, me personally, I'm in my first 2 years of entrepreneurialism, running my own businesses, writing my own checks. So I'm interested in role-playing with Bedros in the sense of him giving me advice and you advice, guys listening at home, on those initial steps – basically how-tos when starting businesses, whether on social media, online.com, email lists, creating fitness products, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, it's going to be a great episode. We'll have him on shortly. Before we get on, just a big thank you to everyone listening out there. We've got a lot of support, a lot of messages on social media, emails. So, you know, leave us feedback. Any, you know, if there's someone out there that hasn't been on the show yet that you think might suit, you know, the style that me and Johnny bring to the table, definitely do send us an email at info@thevisionboardpodcast.com. We love hearing from you. We love interacting with you. You might even have just a simple question, so send them through.
I love that as well, because that show that's super interactive, and it's also showing that we get to learn from other people. If Sean leaves me a message on my Instagram DM, say, hey man, I was listening to Lewis's show and that he had this on, I think he would really fit your model, you should interview him. And then when we hear things like that, and sometimes those steps actually take place, we're all connected. You know what I'm saying? Like, we would have never heard of X, Y, or Z if somebody who was listening to our show wouldn't have told us. So we're always open for that, guys. You know where to find me on social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Johnny Stofko. Follow our show, The Vision Board Podcast. That's the best way to get a hold of us.
Definitely. And I'm at Tristan Canal Fitness. Guys, also, you know, like, sharing's caring. So if you could, just let, you know, you let your friends know on social media some of the stuff that we're doing, if you're really enjoying it. Again, subscribe via iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher. It's a quick little process there. And, you know, if you can, just take that little bit extra and just leave us a quick 5-star review. It really helps us grow.
As the days go by with these episodes, as you say, we're plus 70 now, approaching 80. Our vision, I'm starting to identify it even clearer for our listeners at home, what we're bringing to the table. And if you could compartmentalize the labels that our guests have, whether they're entrepreneurs, athletes, fighters, writers, business owners, and just look at it as a sense of, we get to share the space and ask questions with people who are going for it, who want to do things differently, who want to achieve their fulfillment. And I think that's the clearer picture that I'm starting to see of what the Vision Board Podcast is all about.
Yeah, I agree. So, guys, we're all about bringing value. So check out our website, www.thevisionboardpodcast.com. You'll find a free ebook. And for those that, you know, want to get in the best shape of their life, kind of expose those abs, we put our abs workout that me and Johnny do pretty much on a regular basis. Also, a sample meal diet. So then you can just try a few things for yourself. Everyone's body's different, but it gives you a good grounding and a good base to actually start from.
We also really want to thank Onnit. Onnit is representing the show, supporting this episode of the Vision Board Podcast. You can check them out via our website at www.thevisionboardpodcast.com/onnit. They specialize in human optimization products and brands. They have everything from supplements to training attire to gear to videos. Basically, anything that you want to do to put yourself in a position to optimize your full potential. When you're going through their online store, use keyword Vision Board to receive 10% off of all your purchases.
Yeah, give it a try, guys. I'm just waiting for my shipping of Alpha Brain to come in, so I'm pretty excited about that. But I can tell you two products that I have used before that are brilliant, the Dolce Whey, and I've also used, it's like those Buffalo bars that
Joe
DeFranco gave me once, and I've ordered a box of them because I need them on my Saturday workouts.
And for guys listening at home from Australia, what I recommend when you're ordering off of our website, these Onnit products, give it a go. Don't just order one product. Order in bulk, because this is a testament to how I order now. Because at one time I would order just to see if I liked the Alpha Brain, New Mood, Shroom Tech, Dolce Whey, which I did. Save yourself on some shipping. Order about 4 different products. Test them out. See if you like them. And then from there, after that initial order, you'll be able to see if you want to order more. I guarantee you will. I'm currently rocking an Onnit shirt, a DeFranco Gym Academy shirt that Onnit has. And a little shout out to Joe D. His latest episode on his podcast with Rohan was absolutely exceptional. So if you guys are DeFranco fans, go to iTunes, SoundCloud, check out that latest episode, man. It was magic.
Yeah, especially if you're looking for a little bit of inspiration, a man with, he had no legs.
Yeah, man. It's super
touching story.
It's very touching, inspiring. And Jody, it was awesome to hear him share that story with him.
To think what he, you know, what was taken away from him, and the fact that he's still, you know, achieving brilliant things in the world and inspiring people. It's a great tale. So, guys, you got to go check that out. So check out the Industrial Strength Show with Joe DeFranco, because Johnny makes a great point. It was an absolutely awesome
episode. It really helped me turn my week around, guys, and Tristan. Like, this past week was really heavy with me with stress because, you know, working through my visas, the government, it's not easy to get residency here in Australia. And that was one of those moments this Wednesday. He put that episode up and I listened to it, and it put things into perspective. Like, you know, what do I really have that, you know, to be sympathetic about? I'm nothing. You know, I should be way more in a headspace of a positive reinforcement sort of thing. And hearing that episode really helped me out a lot. So do yourself a favor and give it a go.
Yeah, definitely, guys. Okay, guys, we've got Bedros Koulian. He's on the line and he's waiting and ready to go. So let's bring him on. It makes me warm now. Special guest is one of the leaders of the fitness industry, Bedros Koulian. Bedros is an extremely successful business coach, entrepreneur doing great things in the industry across the world. We welcome Bedros Koulian. Bedros, welcome to the show, my man.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. It's great being here.
Bedros, once again, we appreciate your time. Thank you for coming on our show, The Vision Board Podcast. I want to start the show off a little bit about, you know, if somebody were to Google you or go to your sites, you talk really right off the bat about
having this passion for helping fitness professionals, fitness coaches, and wanting them to be aware that they could grow their brand, they could impact more people on a mass scale. Where does that in turn, where does that come from for you? What is your why for wanting to help so many people?
Simple, man, because when we came to this country, I was, I was actually a transplant. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Coffee, it's the thing that powers the headquarters here. Yeah. But anyway, long and short of it, guys, I was a transplant to the United States because we come from a communist country. So when we came to the United States in 1980, let's see, I was 6 years old. I was told to go back to my own country, you foreigner, right? We were eating out of dumpsters. We were so broke and poor that we were getting kicked out of apartments. And these apartments were so filthy that twice I got lice. One of the times I had lice so bad my mom had to wash my hair with gasoline because we couldn't afford lice treatment. Jesus. And so you want to talk about having a big reason why? I would have liked it if someone would have reached out to help us. Ultimately, they did. They did, and I thought that was the greatest thing ever. In fact, my brother, who's significantly older than me, got into a fight, and a neighbor literally jumped in to help and to help keep him out of jail and all this stuff. And that was the first experience we had in this country of someone helping us. And I go, man, what a great thing to do. So my big reason why is if I see someone who's got a lesser opportunity than I do, I just want to help them like I would have wanted someone to help us when we came to this country. That's all.
Could you also share with us, in your opinion, the significance of experiencing that type of adversity? For you, it happened when, you know, you were at a young age, but the value in that of as you grow into a man and as you evolve personally, of being able to use that as a catalyst for growth. Could you talk a little bit about that with us?
I can talk about that all day long. Check this out. It's real simple to me. Anytime someone has any kind of disadvantage in their life or adversity that we might call it, I think Lewis House once used this phrase with me. He goes, dude, you've got the adversity advantage. And I was like, oh, you know, that's a pretty cool phrase. And I think what he means by that, and what, at least the way I took this is, if you've had an adversity in your problem you've got in your life, you've had one of two choices. You could either go down the path of holding on to that adversity, using it as a reason why you failed, why you're going to fail, why everything you do sucks, why you've never had enough breaks in your life, you'll never make enough money, never make enough impact. Or you can go, you know what? I'm going to look at this adversity as kind of like a dumbbell has an impact on the muscle. So if I grab the dumbbell and I just started curling it all day long, curling this 30-pound dumbbell all day long, it's not going to take long before my arms are stronger and bigger, right? And so if weight will make my muscles bigger, adversity will make my head and my heart stronger. The difference is everybody wants to go the other way with it because it's the path of least resistance. Woe is me. I was born with disadvantages, or I got a divorce. It's not my fault that I'm broke, or I had to go bankrupt. Shit, go bankrupt. 7 years later, you got good credit again. So the reality is that you could either use that adversity as an advantage, or you can hold on to it as an anchor around your neck that's going to suck you down under the water.
Yeah. Mate, just take us back to the start a little bit, because I know as rosy it is now with all your different businesses and you coaching people from around the world, it wasn't always like that, because I know from your own story that you used to be a bouncer at a strip club, and yourself, you're a struggling personal trainer as well. So just take us back to that turning point.
What was
that?
So, and let's just get this right. I was not a bouncer at a strip club. I was a bouncer at a gay club. Yeah, so effectively, I was a bouncer at a strip club. Well, not a strip club. You got me thinking strip club.
Freudian slip.
I was a bouncer at a gay club because they paid more, actually. It's a crazy story, man. They had every night, almost every night, when the club would let out, skinheads would come and hang out in the parking lot looking to gay bash. And so it was our jobs as the bouncers to make sure that, you know, there was no fighting and violence going on, which, you know, being a personal trainer, I don't necessarily want to stay up late and work in a nightclub and have to get in fights. It wasn't the thing I had signed up for, but I did it to make ends meet. So, you know, I was a personal trainer, I was a bouncer at a gay club, and I was a fry cook at Disneyland, all to make ends meet. And so it was pretty rocky start for me in the beginning. Like I was a great trainer. I was certified. I looked the part. But I assumed people would just come and want to work out with me, when in reality, you still have to market and sell and retain and get referrals. And so that was the missing component of the business that I was clueless about. And what I finally did was I ran into a client who took mercy on me and said, hey, man, here's a better way for you to go in business for yourself rather than the system you're using now, which was driving to people's homes and taking the dumbbells up to their apartment and et cetera. And so before long, I had five gyms of my own, 65 trainers that worked for me, and I was making a nice chunk of change in beautiful San Diego.
Wow. The story you told me about, you just shared with us about being the bouncer, were you more like the Sam Elliott or Patrick Swayze in Roadhouse? please tell me you've seen that, right?
I have not seen it, but I've worked on it. Yeah.
Dude, the one-liners. You got to see it.
I haven't seen it either.
I am a big Patrick Swayze fan, so I'm going to have to watch that.
Yeah, I think it'll be good. Pedros, can we talk a little bit about what, you know, you've been in the game for a long time. You've seen our industry, the fitness industry, man, it's ever evolving. Coaches are, you know, required to always constantly be upskilling if they have, you know, integrity for their clients and business. Could you talk a little bit about some differences happening right now from when you started and also some parallels in regards to running businesses in the fitness industry?
Yeah, absolutely, man. Talk about an evolution. I haven't seen an industry change quicker. Well, there is one, the travel industry, because look what Expedia and Hotels.com did. But short of that, I mean, the fitness industry, man, it used to be personal training was one-on-one, 60 minutes. Only the exclusive people could afford it. And then it somehow kind of bled down to one-on-one in the gyms. And I remember it was like the mid-90s. I was like, why are we doing 60-minute sessions when all we're doing is talking to our clients in between sets and learning about their affairs and their family lives and all this stuff? I'm not interested in that stuff. So I started going to one-on-one 60-minute sessions, and man, I thought I was cutting edge. Lo and behold, there was people out there doing groups and boot camps. So the irony there is you fast forward about 12, 13 years, and you know, I later start Fit Body Boot Camp, which is now one of the nation's fastest growing fitness franchises. And to see the evolution of lead generation, used to be the best lead generation for a trainer was give your clients results and they will tell their friends, family, and coworkers. Today, it's still the same. Give your clients results, but they will give you a testimonial to use on social media, specifically on Facebook, where now instead of just getting one or two testimonials at a time, dude, my clients are getting 60, 70, 80, 90, 140 leads at a time when we run a campaign on Facebook because we're able to cast a bigger net. So technology has completely changed the face of our industry because where you used to do the selling face-to-face, belly-to-belly, there's no way you can take 140 leads and sell them in a short period of time. So now we're having to come up with a closing process that involves closing people or selling people in a group environment, and the conversion rates are just as high as one-on-one. So it's pretty neat to see how our industry has evolved all the way from the one-on-one to one-on-many to marketing on Facebook for your local business, but then taking the same knowledge that you have and marketing on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Pinterest, so that you can get a larger clientele base internationally, globally, by training them online, which is just blowing me away right now.
Pedros, when I put up and Tristan and I put on our social media sites that we were going to be interviewing you, we're well aware that a lot of our peers are coaches. So my question is, I want to role play for a second. So the way the system is down here in Sydney, I rent space out of a health club. So our clientele, a lot of these clientele are like high-level executive CEOs. And with the renting procedure is similar to like a tattoo artist. We pay for the space weekly. And that's equivalent to, you know, what you're renting for your apartment. So if you were a new coach, you're in that system, you're required to build your own revenue and create your own brand, where technology is right now as we speak, what would you be worried about in that first year? What would be some of the bullet points that you would be checking off to ensure that your business is going to be successful down the road?
The very first bullet point would be I would do a Facebook Live every single day, twice a day, no matter what, even on weekends. I ask the owner of that gym, can I get in on the weekend? I'll close up. I'll bring the key back to your house if I have to. I'll hide the key under the floor mat, wherever. But I would do Facebook Lives all day long dude, you do Facebook Live for 7 days in a row, and instantly to the people that you're broadcasting out to, which, and again, as you guys know, through Facebook, you can target who your broadcast is going to. Mm-hmm. Now, not necessarily when you're live, but once you're done being live on a fan page, you can then go into your ad center, specifically Power Editor, and say, show this Facebook Live replay to men or women within 2 miles or 3 miles of this specific area. And there's no faster, better, more effective way to position yourself as the expert at fitness and fat loss, at strength training, at whatever your thing is, than live demonstrations, showing clients working out, doing a teaching on a marker board where you talk about how fat is metabolized and how carbs could either get used for energy or get stored as fat. People are so far behind. When Facebook comes out with a video platform, it's because Facebook knows that is the next big thing, and we have got to jump on that. So, in fact, I'll give you an example. Today, right before this podcast with you guys, I was on another podcast being interviewed. The podcast only lasted about 15 minutes. That's kind of the way they run their platform, very short, punchy questions. So I had about 25 minutes to kill. I went right into our media room, set up my iPhone, and did a Facebook Live right to my fan page. And right now it's getting distribution while I'm teaching here on this podcast. And so the number one thing I would have everyone do is go right into a Facebook Live and showcase your knowledge and your information and the results you've gotten to your clients. Number two, I would check off, figure out who your avatar is. You know, for me, my avatar is, you know, I call him Mike. He's about 32 years old. He lives somewhere in Chicago. I know what he looks like. He's about 180, 90 pounds. He built a nice gym. He maxed out his credit cards. He thought he would build it and they will come. He built it and they did not come. And it is then that Mike is looking for a guy like me. See, up until then, Mike was getting certified, getting his degree in exercise kinesiology and exercise science. Hell, he even went to John Berardi's website, Precision Nutrition, got level 1 and 2 certified. And I love John Berardi. He'll be speaking at Fitness Business Summit in March.
Dr. Right? John Berardi.
Dr. John Berardi. At some point, my man Mike has this pain. Now he's not seeing his fiancée enough. They're thinking about getting married and having the kid. And he realizes he wakes up early. He comes home late. He works out in the middle of the day when he's already tired. He's not making enough money. He could make more money if he actually worked a job, but he's stuck, you know, because he signed a 5-year lease and he's got equipment that he has to pay for, and he will reluctantly search for me online, right? Fitness business coach, fitness marketing, whatever, and that's when he finds me. So I know my avatar so well. I know what he looks like. I know his mannerisms. I can tell you what this guy would smell like. And if you know your avatar that well, now I use Facebook to go and target and find Mike and position my videos in front of him so that when he's in pain, he will seek me out rather than waiting for him to find me on Google. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Just one thing I was going to ask you, Badros, is it the same for someone like, obviously for yourself who's been around for a long time, you've got a lot of credibility and you've got a huge follower base. For someone that's just starting out in the industry without the same follower base, would you still take the same approach in terms of the Facebook Live?
Absolutely. Dude, if I was to get parachuted into, let's say Australia for this matter, where no one knows me, right? And let's delete all my fan pages and all that stuff. I get to Australia and I launch a Facebook account. As soon as I find a gym to start training out of, I'm going to start training people for free, by the way. Because the fastest way to build my credibility, I'm not going to try and wait to find a client. I'm going to find a gym right there in your town, which is probably the gym that you're training at right now. And then I'm going to find any business within a mile radius, and I'm going to go to the decision makers. I'm going to go to the manager, the store owner, the director of that store, supermarket, tanning salon. I'm going to say, hey, do you make the decisions here for this business? If the answer is yes, I go, can I train you for the next 6 weeks absolutely free? I'm right down the street at that gym. And they're going to say, what's the catch? I'm going to say it's simple. One, I'm going to do a Facebook Live every single day for about 5 minutes while I'm training you. Number two, as I help you get the fat loss results that you want, can I count on you to tell your friends, family, coworkers, your circle of influence about me? See, these people, if I get 10, 15, 20 people to train for free with me, one, I can use them to broadcast with. Number two, I'm going to tap into their circle of influence because I assume, because I'm going to make sure that they're the decision makers of that business. And so I get to tap into their staff, their employees, their coworkers, their family, et cetera, and friends. And now those people end up paying me. And so it's people always look for the shortcut, and the shortcut doesn't exist. You got to put the work in. The work is train people for free, broadcast the hell out of it, and then ask them for referrals and ask Facebook to come in and try you out for a free week. And then you're going to use the selling process to convert them into a paying client. And that's how you build an empire anywhere you get parachuted into.
Yeah, definitely. Over your career, have you dealt with, like, I'm sure that over the times you would have had copycats, people doing exactly what you were doing. How did you deal with that? And what are some of the strategies that you could kind of pass on to me and Johnny?
You know what? I don't really know how to deal with competition other than to crush them. Because the way I found, look, I've seen people literally cut and paste copy from my site and then literally put it up on their website. And so it'll be like their opener, but then a big chunk of my copy, and then they'll close off the copy, and then they'll have stolen a product of mine, and they'll recreate it. Well, they can't even copy it, right? Because we use code on all of our sites so we can track the movements of our prospects. And oftentimes we look at our metrics and we go, holy cow, that's not our website. But they actually copied and pasted our code as well. And so we go, hey, silly, you can't even copy and paste right, man. And so the reality is this. Too many people worry about competition. I'm convinced that most people who copy are so lazy that they can't even do it right. And quite honestly, I believe in karma. And even if they did do it right, ultimately they're going to pay the ultimate price, which is they're going to go out of business or their reputation is going to get crapped on or something. I prefer to just pump out so much before and after pictures of clients, testimonials. Like, we've got a full video crew here that we send flying all across the nation to my coaching clients, and they film them in their location. You know, hey, I was broke, I was poor, I barely started this CrossFit or this boot camp or this gym, and now after working with Bedros, I'm making $60,000, $70,000 a month. These videos come back, and I'm pumping them all over the place, from YouTube to Instagram, because we cut one-minute versions for Instagram, all the way to Facebook. And so I say you crush your competition by dominating them through social proof. There's no better way to do that, because your competition is not going to be able to send people all across the country. So for me, and maybe I've been around for a while, I've got the money to afford a team who can fly out and do this. But at the end of the day, even if you can't do that, you don't have the money, you can simply ask for testimonials, get videos with your iPhone, or have them take a video with their iPhone and send it to you. Again, the number one thing to do is to crush the competition through service, out-service your clients, so that they can't get that kind of service anywhere else. Give them the results they're expecting, and then some. Exceed their expectations. That's the Disney way. I worked for Disney for 7 years as a fry cook. We always exceed someone's expectation. And then, of course, back it all up with social proof. I put more social proof out there in the universe than any of my competitors ever could, and they just get disgruntled and they leave.
I like that, the word social proof. I'm going to co-sign on that. That makes a lot of sense. Bedros, so say you're my coach, you train me in Sydney, Australia, you train me at a health club, you've had me for about a year, and your main intent for this meeting is you want to produce a 30-second video testimonial. So my page is full of testimonials, progression shots of me with my clients, but this specific one, we got 30 seconds. How are you going to deliver that?
It's going to be real. Yeah,
could you take me through that and then finish with a call to action as well, just so I can have an example?
Yeah, so we'll use Tristan here as an example. So I might start off with, hey, my name is Bedros Kulian, and I'm a fat loss coach here in Sydney, Australia. I want you to meet Tristan. He's my client who's lost over 25 pounds in the last 60 days, and we're going to show you the top two exercises to flatten your midsection and drop your waist size. All right, he's going to demonstrate, and then we'll go into two or three demonstrations where he demonstrates and I talk. So if you notice how I opened up, who I am, what I do, and where I do it. My name is Bedros Kulian. I'm a fitness and fat loss coach here in Sydney, Australia, and I'm going to show you XYZ with my coaching client right here, and I use him as social proof. Going back to the thing you co-signed on, my friend, I'm going back to calling him a walking, talking billboard by saying he's lost 25 pounds in the last 62 days. And we're going to show you the top two exercises to flatten your midsection and get a smaller waistline. And then he's going to demonstrate. I'm going to walk the camera through. And then at the end, I'm going to say, if you want to go through a workout like this for an entire week with me so you can feel what it's like to get a flat, hard midsection, go to whatever.com and sign up for a free three free trials or a free week trial. It's as simple as that. It's a who you are, what you do, what you're about to show them that adds value to their life. Pepper with social proof if you can. So I'm going to use a model who's already lost weight with me. That takes away any secondary conversation the viewer is having in their head that goes, well, I don't know if you're legit or not. No, motherfucker, I am legit because I just showed you this guy's lost 25 pounds in 62 days. And then I give a call to action. What to do next to take him from online to offline into my business.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing that with us, man. That was awesome.
Yeah, Bakers, that's awesome.
My man.
I just want to talk about the vision that you see for your own company, because I've bought a few of your products. I've bought the Fitness Business Summit videos, Closed Clients, and the FitPro newsletter. So I've known you for a little while, and I can see that I've only got three, but there's probably like two dozen versions of different products coming around. So I just wanted to ask you kind of, like, where do you see the vision for Coolian?
Yeah, that's a real good question. So what I found recently is that I now look at my info products as a rung on the ladder to move you closer to working with me in person. And here's why. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's my energy, if it's my ability to be fully transparent, if I just don't give a damn about what other people think. But I have a way of getting up your ass as long as we're in person and getting you to do what's right for you and your business and your community. And so if I can get you to buy a product from me, because let's face it, you're not just going to give me $25,000 for a year of coaching right away. And my coaching is all done in a group environment and a mastermind environment. Well, I'm going to see you every 90 days for an entire year. And none of my coaching clients want to be that person to come back 90 days from now and go, hey, man, I didn't do anything. Because in those 90 days, we're following up not only on your business transformation. We have three transformations that happen. Business transformation, mindset transformation, and body transformation. Because how many trainers do you guys know who are fat and out of shape and have at least 10 to 15 pounds to lose? There's a good amount of them.
Yeah, heaps.
Right? Yeah. And so I've decided that my info product, you can buy my info product, and if it helps you close more people or get 20 more leads per month, that's fantastic. And that's, you know, that's a degree of change, man. And listen, I will take a degree of change anywhere I can get it. However, if you want a quantum leap, I'm going to call every single person, and we have this office full of 26 team members here, and most of them are calling people who have purchased my products. And they're going, hey, one, want to check up how you like FitPro newsletter or Closed Clients or the PT business course. How's it working for you? Great. Bader's wants to make sure that if you gave him money that you're getting results from his products. If they say they haven't gotten results or they haven't even opened it, we'll figure out on what to send them for free to get them the results first. Most people obviously use the product, get the results, and we go, you know, have you considered working with Bader's one-on-one in a coaching environment? Well, no, I haven't. Let me tell you about the mastermind. And they go right into Ted telling them about the mastermind. So the Coolian product line, the two dozen product lines, I just look at it as multiple poles in the water that will get you one step closer into working with me in a group environment, because that's where I have the biggest impact on your mind and your money.
Bedros, a former Vision Board podcast alum, Gary Vaynerchuk, did this really popular speech in front of the University of Southern California seniors. And he led the speech off with basically their investment in their education will never get them to the level Gary is at, because they don't have, quote unquote, good old fashioned immigrant hustle. So I feel there's parallels to what you're doing with that sort of background. I want to talk about your strengths in relation to that. What would you say to where you are today is your biggest strength, and how do you implement that on a daily basis?
Yeah, so my biggest strength is this, man, the fact that I always will remember that we came from a country where we had no opportunity. Coming from a communist country where the man is always watching you, there's always oppression, there's no freedom, and there's certainly no democracy so that you can make all the money you want and change all the lives you want. I am so grateful for that I've got that immigrant edge, which is what I always talk about. In fact, I'm currently writing a book called Man Up. Book number two is called The Immigrant Edge, which Gary doesn't know this yet, but he and Arnold are going to be interviewed to cover their immigrant edge in a chapter of that book. And so long and short of this is I have the immigrant edge. Whenever I do any kind of public speaking, whether it's to 10 executives of a big corporation or to 10,000 people, audiences, I always try and install my immigrant edge on them because I tell them, no, it was the worst economy we've ever had, 2007, 2008, 2009, and I was launching an international franchise with money I barely had. And my videographer was saying, because we were filming a video at that point, he goes, dude, you are knocking out these videos left and right as though the economy is kicking ass. People are losing their homes and they've got no money to buy your franchise. I go, I don't care. The money went somewhere. It just exchanged hands. It didn't go away. It just went somewhere. My job is to get these videos out there so that I can find the people who got the money, who will buy my franchise, and who will change lives in their communities. And so to me, it is all about that immigrant edge, what Garrett would call the immigrant hustle, right? And if I remember, always go back to my roots of, thank God my dad brought me from a communist country into a country here in the United States where I have freedom, opportunity, and I can be a capitalist. And as long as for every dollar you give me, I can give you $10 back worth of value, I deserve to make more money. That is the thing that I kind of hang my hat on. That is my root. That is my true north. That is what I go to whenever I'm fatigued and tired, is that my dad risked his life to get us here. I cannot let him down. I have to work my ass off to produce and accomplish more.
Hi, guys. Thanks for listening to the episode with Bedros. We'll be back to the show shortly. If you haven't yet, please check out our latest episodes with former heavyweight champion of the world, Evander Holyfield, and also the co-founder of Quest Nutrition, Tom Bilyeu. Also, if you haven't yet, please subscribe to the show via iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher, and please leave us a quick 5-star review. Now back to the show.
Just get a little bit more insight into your day-to-day life, Bedros. Is there any non-negotiables that you have in the day?
Yes, I will never answer the phone, and I will never answer a text that doesn't have a name. So I never answer the phone, period. Doesn't matter if it's my wife calling, my mom and dad calling, I just don't. Even my mom knows she can't text, so she'll leave a voicemail. I'll call her back. In other words, I will take zero interruptions. No one is allowed to interrupt my day. And if a text message pops up and there's no name to it, that means someone got my phone number without me giving it to them, and so they join the list of 86 other names that I've blocked, or numbers that I've blocked in my phone. So in that way, I'm very ruthless in managing my time, because my time is all I have to add value to the community that I serve, right? Through this podcast, I'm going to reach more humans.
Yeah.
But if I had to sit here, instead of preparing, answering text messages and picking up the phone every time someone is calling, now I'm allowing people to kind of barge into my day and barge into my time with whatever bad news they're going to bring to me, or whatever mediocre idea they might have to pitch me. And so as far as, you know, rituals are concerned, I'm a big believer in, if you can own your morning, and I give all credit to Craig Ballantyne, by the way,
yep,
on this, and also Hal Elrod. Hal wrote a fantastic book. He and I are the 25K Genius Network that Joe Polish runs. He's got Miracle Morning as his book. But between Craig Ballantyne and Hal Elrod, if you can win your morning, you can win your week, man. And I wake up at 5 a.m. and you can set your clock to me. I wake up at 5 a.m. I shower. I go downstairs, have my protein shake. The dog knows. She's a 100-pound lap dog, and she knows we're about to go out there and we're going to play catch. By 6:05, 6:10, I got my MacBook out and I'm working. I'm working, and I get 3 hours of GSD, get shit done time, in before the rest of the world is working and emailing and texting me. And so I get uninterrupted, focused work done, and I just go through my to-do list. Now, by that point, at 10 p.m. or 10 a.m., I'm at the gym, and when I get into the headquarters here at 12 noon, which is why we're doing this podcast after 12 noon, because I can't have any interruption, not even a podcast, not even an interview, throughout my morning.
Yep.
And so that's that regimented. And as far as distractions or non-negotiables, no calls, texts, people can't barge in. I'm not down for that shit.
You briefly mentioned the importance and the value of time. And Tristan and I talk a lot on the show about the most important asset of life is time. And, you know, that's the one thing we're not in control of being able to get it back. So lately, I've really been fascinated with self-efficacy in regards to my own personal life, my business, just creating a more efficient day-to-day life for myself so I could be more productive. With that in mind, is there anything that you've actually subtracted, so the law of subtraction sort of thing in your life recently, that you feel has inhibited your growth?
Have I subtracted anything that has inhibited my growth?
Have you subtracted? No. Have you recently taken anything out of your day because you know you've recently learned that maybe that doesn't suit you anymore? So you've subtracted it. We were chatting with AJ Roberts a while back, and he brought that up to our attention about the law of subtraction. So I guess that's the premise of the question. Have you taken anything out?
Yes. So there was a time that I would have multiple cars, and here's what happens when you start making lots of money. You get stupid with it if you make money too fast, too quick, too much of it. And there's no such thing as too much money. It's just too much stupidity. And I am not susceptible. I too am susceptible to stupidity. And so I had multiple cars, and so I had a decision to make. Which car am I going to drive today? Oh, my gosh, if I don't drive that car, it's been sitting there for a while, and so the tires are getting flat, the engine's not working. And so I would do stupid things like that. Take the car that was parked way in the back in my multi-car garage just so that I can drive it and get some use out of it and justify it. Dude, these days I've simplified. I only wear black and white V-neck t-shirts. That's my wardrobe, man. Unless I'm speaking at an event where I'm going to put on a suit and tie, I'm wearing either a black or white wardrobe. That reduces decision fatigue. So the number one thing I've subtracted out of my life is bullshit decisions. Which car I'm going to drive, which watch I'm going to wear, what shirt I'm going to wear. I have the same uniform every day, no matter what. I have the same pattern. I'll hit Starbucks, and I'll get sushi after my workout. Then I'll meet with Joan and Sean, my executives here at my headquarters. And by subtracting all of those distractions that cause decision fatigue, keeps me more in line with my true purpose, which is to help and impact the community. So for me, it's sell off the cars, get rid of the watches. Do I need a vacation home that I barely visit every other year? No. So how about I just put it up for rent instead of feeling bad about the fact that it's sitting there empty year after year because I bought it because it sounded like a good idea, but I'm not visiting it. And so now I'm going to try and visit it, but now it's taking up room in my brain. Does this make sense?
Yeah, definitely.
It makes a lot of sense. Bajos, we work in a highly competitive industry down here, as in, you know, the fitness industry is very, very competitive. So there's guys that I know firsthand that are way more experienced than I am. They're, you know, education is probably a little higher, but they're really unwilling to be vulnerable in a sense of, you know, utilizing your Snapchats, Instagrams, basically the whole social media machine. For the coaches out there listening at home who are listening to this right now, what advice would you give to that guy who's super, his credentials are on point, but, you know, he may be holding himself back because he's unwilling to be vulnerable on the social media scene?
The advice is real simple. Evolve or perish. And that doesn't mean that they're going to die, but that might mean that they're going to live a bitter life because they're always going to have a chip on their shoulder because they're going to see you guys who, very much like me, I never had any degree in exercise science, kinesiology. Hell, I dropped out of college my first semester. It took me 4 attempts to pass the American Council on Exercise certification course. All I've got is one certification and a shit ton of hands-on experience and enthusiasm coming out of my ears. That's it. That's what made me a great trainer. That's how I continue to change hundreds of thousands of lives, if not millions at this point. But that guy or gal who's got all these, you know, they're distinguished in their certification and multiple degrees and PhDs, they're going to either evolve and get online and start doing that social media stuff, or they're going to perish and live a miserable life by being bitter and always looking down at guys like you who are making a bigger impact and going, well, I'm better educated. People don't want better educated. They want the guy or gal who can prove their competency, who's got some kind of personality and enthusiasm coming out of them, because at the end of the day, Mrs. Jones would rather be sitting on her couch eating bonbons than working with a personal trainer and sweating for it and paying money for it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. Is there a happy medium in terms of how many times you should be posting? It should be like different posts, like on the same different day?
You know what I mean? If we were to come up with a formula, I'd say you should post at least 4 times a day. One of those should be a live video.
Mm-hmm.
But listen, if you got nothing to post that day, sometimes I'll go radio silent for 3 days because I've got nothing of value to add to our community. I'm not just going to take up your time by putting some bullshit up there.
Yeah, so it's always kind of, you've got to have that value before you actually decide to actually have anything to post.
What's your opinion, your personal philosophy on content? We were chatting with a gentleman, and he was saying to all you coaches out there, before you launch a website, have about so-and-so amount of content before you launch a site. What's your opinion on that?
Are we talking about like a membership site or just a website?
I guess a membership site.
Well, if you're going to do a membership site, I think you ought to have 3 to 4 months of content, the back content. If people are going to go in there, they don't just want to... It would be like going to an empty Starbucks and there's no baristas, there's no customers, and you're just walking around wondering who's going to make my coffee versus them allowing a big line to form. All the baristas are inside. Now they open the doors and we all come trampling in. You know, the muffins are baked and the coffee's brewed and we're being serviced. And so you want a lot of content. You want a lot of things going on. I found that 4 months of content is easy enough to do. And by the way, you can knock that out with like one video. So one piece of content can serve as 3 things. You knock out a 5 to 6 minute video, and now you've got a massive blog post if you get it transcribed. You obviously have the video in itself, and then you can strip the audio out of it and make it into a good, you know, whatever, a 5 to 6 minute, or if you even chop it up further, make it a good, you know, minute to 2 minute audio piece that they can download on an MP3 player. And so people put so much weight on, well, it's going to take too much time to create all that content. No, it's not. No, it's not. In one day, you can create enough content to fill up 4 months of membership site material. But you've got to go in there structured. You got to know what you're going to talk about, and then you got to know what services you're going to use to get it transcribed or to rip the audio out.
Yeah, Bedros, I get really frustrated sometimes because I feel I took a business class once, and the only thing I remembered is in order for somebody to pay you or buy from you, they have to first trust you. And I feel in our industry, a lot of coaches are skipping steps, you know, trying to take that next leap without creating credibility or creating that trust. So for all the coaches out there listening who are, you know, who have that frustration, maybe you sign on to Instagram, and everyone's an online coach, by the way. Everybody who lifts a weight is an online coach. Where is that? What is a mental tool or maybe, you know, something that you use in your own, you know, personal development to see through that and to continue at your own creative mode?
You know what? To me, it's real simple, man. It's do the work. You know, everybody, like you said, is an online coach. If they have access to the internet, they are now an online coach. But the reality is they may have only trained people in person. It's a whole different animal training someone online because you don't have that other sensory benefit of seeing and touching, etc. Number one. Number two, I always say look for the proof. You know, like there was that movie with Tom Cruise, Show Me the Money. Well, show me the proof. You're an online coach. You say you can deliver this kind of results in that much time. Let me see some social proof. And if they can't generate the social proof, or if I go back and back and back on your posts and images and all I see is lip service but no proof to back it up, then, my friend, we don't have a diamond. We've got a cubic zirconian.
Yeah, definitely. Bedros, congrats on how well and how much developed the Fitness Business Summit's been, you know, really has developed into, because this year, you brought on the biggest and the best from the fitness industry, plus the guys like Aubrey Marcus and Lewis House. So I just wanted to touch base with you. As proud as you are now, taking you back to the origins of how it all happened, did you ever envision that it was going to become this big?
No, I never did. And my only thing was, I knew I had something of value for our industry because, remember, I was the fry cook and I was the bouncer at a gay bar while I was a personal trainer. And so when I went to the NSCA and filled out the application to speak at the NSCA conference, and I got denied, totally fine. I respect them. I love them. They're great, fantastic. But I got denied. I go, well, they don't want to hear my marketing and sales message. No problem. I went to IDEA, and I applied there on their website. Again, this was in 2005. I got the, hey, thanks, but no thanks. We don't want people talking about business development, marketing, and sales. That's not what the industry wants. What they want is more certification and the latest Zumba or core training program. Hey, you got it, man. Free country. Your choice. And so I said, well, it is a free country, and it's my choice as well. And so I'm going to create my own little event called the Fitness Business Summit because, damn it, if I would go to all these other events, I'd learn to be a better trainer, but I'm still a bouncer at a gay bar, and I'm a fry cook at Disneyland where I smell like hamburgers and hot dogs every night. And I didn't want that anymore, man. And so I created the Fitness Business Summit. I had no stage. I had my brother-in-law with a camcorder in the back of the room. I had something like 105 people in the room that I pretty much had to pay for them to come. Or at least it felt that way. I charged them so little, like $99. I lost money on that event, but I realized over the next 30, 60 days that I was getting feedback from the people who came, like, dude, I'm finally able to use the knowledge that I have to help more people in my community. It only takes so long before you get enough of those messages to know that, holy shit, I've stumbled onto something. And I didn't come up with a great idea of, you know, I'm going to give away a car every year, a Land Rover, whatever the heck it is we give. I think it's a Land Rover we give away every year at the summit. I didn't come up with, I'm going to have the best presenters on the planet speaking and they're only going to be tried and true. I just said, next year, it's got to be bigger and better. Mm-hmm. Next year, it's got to be bigger and better. And here we are 11 years out. Now we have over 1,000 people come from 18 different countries and we get the who's who's from celebrities to thought leaders. And every single one of them, I can tell you, have been vetted by me, and I know that they're making money in the industry that they're serving, and they're not just professing it, but they're actually making the money in the industry.
With your constant push and constant inspiration for learning, so is there anything specifically in this last year, Bedros, that you feel that, you know, you've learned that you've been able to use applicably in your business that's allowing you to continuously to grow?
Yes, the biggest, not so much in the last year, but in the last 3 years, I've had my biggest growth in my business. And you would think that most businesses have their greatest growth in the beginning because you've got no customers and now you've got the whole world as your customer base. But I mean, here I went from serving our industry and having a list of over 100,000 trainers, 29,000 of which have bought something from me. 29,000 individual trainers have bought something from me. Many of them, like you guys, have bought more than one thing from me, and I hope I was able to add value. But the thing I learned over the last 3 years where I've had my biggest growth in not only revenue but also impact in the industry is the fact that I've been able to surround myself with really awesome people. So I've got a chief marketing officer in here. I've got – who's Josh Carter. You guys know him from many of my products and from Fitness Business Summit. He's also the MC of Fitness Business Summit.
Yep.
But some of my best coaching clients have now become business partners and team members here. So I've got a CEO of my empire. I've got a compliance officer who makes sure that all of our ads and promotions and our sales team is complying to, you know, the rules and regulations of selling things without overpromising things that I can't deliver on. And the bigger and better the team is around me, the faster we're able to move. Because as an entrepreneur, I can tell you this right now, guys, you are going to be the bottleneck in your business. No one else.
Yeah, definitely. So just give us a few tips on terms of building key relationships. I know you just mentioned a half a dozen of some really quality people. Plus, we know that you're really good friends with guys like Jason Faruja, Craig Ballantyne, and Lewis House as well. What's the keys behind, you know, creating those good relationships?
Real simple. Come to them with a giving hand. Every single one of those guys, you know, I whether I read their book, with the exception, actually with Craig, even with Craig Ballantyne, we're now business partners, but before Craig ever became a coaching client, who then later converted into a business partner, I was sending him books in the mail because I was fond of what he was doing with Turbulence Training. I had seen no one else do that kind of stuff online, selling fitness info products. And so I would go to Amazon and I'd buy a book, and I found his address in Toronto and I'd send him a book. And then one day he sent me a book, and then I'd send him another book. And so we just come with a giving hand. Same with Lewis House. I ran into him somewhere, I don't know, 6-7 years ago at some conference. Oh, and Ryan Dice. Ryan Dice introduced us. We were at a Dan Kennedy event. Ryan Dice introduced us. And immediately I went to Lewis, what is it that you do? At that time, if you guys remember, he was the LinkedIn guy.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, dude, can I do a webinar and have you teach LinkedIn marketing on to my customers and then pitch whatever you want? So again, come to them with the giving hand. And it's funny that you asked this question because just today on Facebook, you can go and take a look on my personal profile. I put up a little quote, and the quote goes something like this. Every morning when you wake up, you have one of two shirts you can wear. One of them says, how can I serve you? The other one says, what can you do for me? And so I learned very quickly that if I put on the shirt every morning that says, how can I serve you? Ultimately, you'll come back to me and say, dude, we are friends. You've helped me make money. You've enriched my life. You make me laugh. Hopefully I can actually make you laugh. We can go get a bite of food together. And then at some point, a business relationship develops, or just a friendship, a true, genuine friendship.
Yeah, definitely. But just in terms of accountability and continued improvement, how do you handle that aspect?
Man, I don't settle. I don't settle for mediocrity. I've got a team that's so badass here in my corporate office that I know they can smell it if I slow down. I feel like I'm an F-22 Raptor fighter jet, and they are as well. And if I slow down just a little bit, they're going to keep up. They're going to catch up and pass me up. And so I have to never peak, which is one of the five rules I live by. Never peak. The best is always yet to come. And so it's evolve, 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 because I have to lead from the front. And so for me, it's as simple as that. If I'm going to ask them to make more sales, to make more calls, to get better at what they do, then I've got to do back-to-back podcasts, not just one podcast a week, but I got to do four or five podcasts in a row. You guys are my last podcast of the day, and I'm bringing more energy to this podcast than I brought to the first one, and that's how it should be. If I sounded down, if I sounded negative, if I sounded like I'm fatigued and tired and you guys are a nuisance, you'd never want to talk to me again, and your audience would tell me to go to hell. And so I have an obligation to deliver the goods just like I expect out of my team. So for me, it's just a never settle, never peak mentality.
Pedro, so let's talk a little bit about something that you may use in your own day-to-day life with inspiration. Some of us, we all struggle with, you know, finding inspiration in regards to creating. With me, myself, when I'm creating something, whether it's an article or a post about a client, I can't force it. You know, I allow it to just come and then it comes out. But then I'll go through periods of maybe 2-3 days of not having that inspiration. Are you the type of guy to meditate? Are you the type of guy to get in the sensory deprivation tank? Are you doing any type of mental work for yourself to allow that inspiration to flow freely?
Yeah, that's a good question, man. So Valentine tried to get me to meditate. That didn't work. And I'll go as far as to say I just didn't like it. I'm not even going to say it didn't work for me. How about this? I didn't like the damn thing. I didn't like to sit there in silence, right? It's not my thing. And then Faruja tried to get me in the damn deprivation tank. I didn't want that either. I don't like the idea. I don't want to do it. So for me, I wake up and I go through this real quick because I'm like a hummingbird. I got to keep moving. I got to keep moving. I'm a fighter jet, man. And so to me, it's I show gratitude. What are the three things I'm grateful for this morning? Right when I wake up. And so I'll just go through a little mental gratitude list as I'm looking out the window in the shower. You know, it might be the trees and the green foliage that we have here in California. It might be the perfect weather that we have. It might be my family. So what are the three things I'm grateful for? Who are the three people in my life I'm grateful for? And then who are the three people that I'm going to send a text message to and pump them up? Just a I love you, you're a great person, you're making an impact in the lives of the people that you serve, pump up text message. Like, when was the last time anyone got one of those, right? And then literally all that happens while I'm, you know, soaping up my body and showering. When I get out, I dry off, I send the text messages, and I go. So I don't know if creativity comes to me while I'm necessarily meditating or going into deep thought. I get the most creative ideas, dude, when I go to the gym between 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. and I'm working out like a madman and I go, holy shit, I got this great idea. We're going to live cast Fitness Business Summit and we're going to sell another 1,000 tickets for a private Facebook group that we're going to live cast in. Like, that came to me while I was squatting, right? I wish I could say it would come to me while sitting in our boardroom, you know, trying to come up with better ideas for Fitness Business Summit, but it came to me while I was squatting. And so I think my most creative space is when I work out, when I'm active.
Wow, that's
thanks for sharing that with us.
Yeah, Pedro, I'm gonna start probably implementing that tomorrow morning.
Yeah, so. Pedro, I have my note. I carry this journal around with me everywhere, and I turned back to about January, and I'm looking over the notes that I took when we were interviewing Craig Ballantyne. And in the notes of people to talk to, it says Dan Kennedy, Ryan Dice, and Bedros Koulias. So part of our vision board, why we call our show the Vision Board Podcast, is because we put people that we want to chat with, and as we talk to them, we cross them off. So I just want to thank you for your time, stopping by the show, and I know time's the most valuable asset, so I really appreciate you giving us so much energy.
Yeah, guys, thank you so much for the opportunity, man. It was my pleasure. I mean it.
Before we go, we got one personality question for you, Bedros. Now, yeah. It's something we ask all our guests, just a little thing so we can get to know you even a little bit more. Now, Badros, you're going to be hosting a dinner party, my man. You've got 5 invites. They can be anyone dead or alive. They just can't be anyone that's a friend or a family member. Who are you inviting?
Oh, man. All right. I'm going to go right off the gut. Henry Ford, Robin Williams, Oprah Winfrey, okay. Jerry Seinfeld, Sam Walton, the founder of Walmart.
Awesome. Badros, you've been dropping knowledge bomb after knowledge bomb. I'm sure the people want to be reaching out to get in touch with you. What's the best way that people can connect with you?
On my blog at bedroskulian.com.
Awesome. And that's the same thing on all the social media channels too?
Yes, sir. Facebook.com/ Badros Kulian, and there I am.
Yeah, well, definitely. I hope some of our listeners hit you up because you've left us with some absolute, you know, things for us to do and to improve our businesses. So we really appreciate it and really thank you for your time.
Yeah, Badros, man. Thank you. GSD, get shit done, guys.
Thanks, fellas. Take care.
All right, we'll talk soon.
That's one of my favorite things of keeping a journal. I know it sounds pretty, I don't know if it's amateur is a word, but elementary about keeping a journal. But whatever your business is, if it's doing a podcast, if it's coaching, if you're a banker, I think a journal is really important so you could track your thoughts as time goes by.
Yeah, I agree. I relate a lot to Badros because I struggle sometimes with meditation, but I don't fully give it up. I just try to do it when I can.
Yeah.
But I'm the same. I get a lot of my best ideas when I'm at the gym as well, and I'm lucky that I carry around a notebook writing down all my weights, because usually it's half weights and half ideas, because that's where I get them from.
Yeah, I bring my journal, the same. Now, this journal I use for the podcast notes, I use for ideas, and I remember where I was when I had the idea to share with you about wanting to do a show.
Mm.
I remember where I was writing it down. I remember when we talked about for the first time, when we did start the show, of when you had the idea of doing it in a specific format.
Yeah.
Of like having, don't just blab, you know, don't just talk. We have to have a structure. And looking back at the notes, the show notes from, I think, February of Craig Ballantyne. Guys, if you didn't check his episode out, he's the author, Early to Rise, CEO of Turbulence Training. And he, in my notes, Badros Kulian just popped up. And so did the guys that Badros mentioned, Ryan Dice, Dan Kennedy, Ryan Holiday, that sort of thing. And it's almost like a connecting the dots sort of thing. And Badros, the energy he brings, I understand now why so many people we've spoken to, Jay Ferrugia, Ballantyne, you hear Lewis talk about Badros a lot, Lewis House, bring him up.
Yeah, definitely.
He has that.
And like he said, he's giving more energy in his last one than he did in his first one, but he had to, because in the first one it's easy to get yourself up for, but the last one is the hardest too. And that's the same, I think, sometimes. I know there'll be a lot of personal trainers listening to today's one, and sometimes we all struggle with that sort of, especially for the trainers that sometimes don't understand about doing 15 sessions in a day. So you start at 6 a.m. and you close at 7 or 8 o'clock at night. But what you've got to realize is the guy or girl that's paying you at 8 o'clock at night is the same price as the person paying you at 6. So obviously between that kind of starting period of that 6 to 11 a.m., you've probably got your most energy. But that person at the end also deserves that energy as well. So I think it's probably a smart thing that you've kind of done as well when you've brought your schedule in a little bit, because I'm sure that you've probably continued to be able to give energy to the people in the afternoon instead of those late night people, because you used to go from very early in the morning to very late at night. So I'm sure that's probably helped you as well.
It's definitely helped me. I used to be all over the shop. I would be at the gym at 6 a.m. and not leave till 7 p.m. What I've done is do the same amount of work from that 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. in less amount of time. So I've just become more efficient, created self-efficacy. And the way I look at this too, guys, if you're listening and you're a coach and you're running your own business, so you're not getting paid hourly by a gym, there's certain personal training and coaching models. I use Virgin Active, for instance. Virgin pays their coaches hourly. So in a way, it's a little more comfortable. You know, they're not really responsible as the coach to drive their own business because Virgin's writing their paychecks.
Yeah.
The models you and I choose to work in, and a lot of the people that we know in our circle, it's not like that. We write our own paychecks. And the way I look at my energy levels with my clients, I look at that as my prospecting. I look at the energy I give each client. Somebody is watching me. And you'd be shocked with how many, when I get new clients, you know, some are from social media, some are from referrals, but a lot of them are from people watching me interact with my clients who then approach me and then ask me to coach them. And I feel that that gets lost too with the simplicity of how to gain new clients. It's not this old archaic way of going to the fitness, cardio, treadmill area and passing your business card out, that's archaic. That's, in my opinion, I wouldn't recommend that for any new coach, any old coach. I would focus on the business that you do have, the clients that you do have, and obsess over them. And that energy that you could give them, I guarantee will pay off in new clients.
Yeah, and I think just because he's an expert in the fitness industry, I actually think from being involved in a few different industries that a lot of the things that he says is cross-transferable across all different industries. I think, you know,
the parallels are definitely there. The parallels
there. Are
huge. You're, like in the business networking.
And finance and things like that. It's a little bit different because the product sets and the price structures are different. So you've got to kind of change it up just a touch. But in terms of some of the key points he makes about getting yourself out there, in terms of testimonials, about getting your clients involved, I think that's something that you've kind of done very, very well over the last couple of months. But yeah, I think you make some great points. So guys and girls from fitness, business, even in life in general, you've got some great takeaway points. And, you know, I think you probably have to go re-listen because he's given us an hour of his time and I know how valuable he is. Like you said, he charges something like $25,000 a year for his masterminds and they get to talk to him once every quarter. So it's a pretty valuable thing we just brought to you guys. So check it out again. Like I said, especially, well, as much as it relates to the guys and girls in the fitness industry, it's cross-transferable. So, you know, get in there. I kind of like, I'm not a huge sort of social media guy. I'm still kind of trying to work out with my own time. But he's given me a few different ideas. We've got a couple of things that we want to launch towards the end of the year. So even for myself that's not as active on social media, there might be a couple of little things that I can introduce.
I always really enjoy when we have these conversations with these people of your reactions. And this was another specific one when he was answering my question about creating systems in distribution of content. And I could just see your wheels turning mentally when I asked him about when he was bringing up the Facebook Live. Because I'm all about doing things differently, man. I don't like going that same route. When I got into the industry, I basically looked at the industry online. I looked at it in the health club I work at. And I was like, all right, where is that white area? Where is the white space? How can I do things differently and still be successful? And when he was talking about the videos, when he was talking about also the progression shots and the testimonials, if you guys are listening to the show, I guarantee you follow my page, and I guarantee you're going to see me implement those in the next couple of days. I'm actually stoked to get out of here to implement the video one because that's something I've been struggling with was how I've done the testimonial thing, but I want to do the next level testimonial because we're fortunate enough to have our clients face-to-face with us. Not all of our clients are online like some of our friends. Mm. And I'd like to give a shout-out before we wrap this up to a new coach, Fitness First Newtown, Rupert Luxton. You know, appreciate the follow. I've been helping him out with his business. And some of those answers Bedros gave us was specifically targeted to Big Roop. And I know he's a big fan of Bedros. So always love for continuously supporting the show, Big Dog.
Awesome. Thanks, Rupert. Hopefully we'll see you in the gym sometime soon. Guys, just remember to pick up your free ebook. Quickly download it at www.thevisionboardpodcast.com. If you're looking for six-pack abs, I know in Australia we're entering our summer, spring and summer period. So check it out. It's the abs guide from me and Johnny. It's our workout of the week and just a quick sample guide because nutrition is key. Nutrition is key.
Very, man. It's very simple. You go to our website, visionboardpodcast.com/ebook. It's a free download. It takes 10 seconds. You put in your email. We send it straight to your inbox. You got that guide. Number one rule of leadership, it's okay to ask for help. No matter where you are on your fitness journey, your health and fitness, it's always important to always upskill. Tristan and I put together this little tool that we feel will add value to your day-to-day routine.
Cool. Also, guys, remember, onnit.com, use checkout code VisionBoard, or you can even go to our website. We've got all the supplements that we use. Check it out. It's quick, easy, and we use it every day. So check it out, onnit.com or www.thevisionboard.com/onnit. Use checkout code VisionBoard and get all your awesome supplements.
Yeah, man, this was awesome, Tristan Cannell. Another one we cross off the list, Bedros Koulian dropping knowledge bombs.
Definitely, guys. We'll check you out soon. We've got some big ones coming up, so don't miss out.
Follow me on Johnny Stofko, Snapchat, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Tristan Cannell, Tristan Cannell Fitness. Get involved, people. Peace.
Guys, see you later.
Welcome to the Vision Board Podcast, stories of success from around the world.
You guys are scratching an itch, and that's why this podcast has become popular and successful is because you guys are scratching an itch. You're enjoying it, and you're also benefiting from the knowledge that people are dropping.
I've never met the person in my life, including my parents, that was able to outwill me about me.
whatever profession you're in, you need to keep working hard at it. You know, nothing comes easy these days, and you know, you'll get knocked down, but get back up, that counts, so just keep working hard at it.
You know, you guys said you do stuff, you ask things that aren't Googleable. You guys are two for two.
There's never been a time in my life where anybody ever was able to tell me who I was more than I knew who I was.
To join our vision and follow the journey, please subscribe to the Vision Board Podcast via iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher.